Hello and welcome to another episode of Academy of Blues, a Chelsea FC podcast. It seems like we've been waiting forever, but finally, yes, finally, the Premier League is back underway to close out the 2019-2020 season. It is the end of the season, and what that means is one thing and one thing only: summer transfers. So, Chelsea has quickly moved for a speedy German who is turning heads. In this episode, we discuss how it happened, what kind of player Chelsea fans should expect, and we even look at our first game back in our trip to Villa Park. To help us get through the calm before the storm, I have with me Daniel Gonzalez, Chief Podcaster at Academy of Blues. Daniel, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty great. I mean, okay, as of time of recording this episode, we are just a few days away from the start of the Premier League. It's back.
And right.
I don't know. Okay, so it has been since the middle of March around that we haven't played. There's been no games. There's been no Premier League games. That's what, 3 months? That's longer than the summer, basically.
Yeah.
That we've been without anything. It's not even like there's no games in the Premier League, no Champions League, no. There's just been nothing. There's been nothing. I think the Belarus Premier League was still playing for a long time afterwards, and I wasn't watching that, unfortunately.
Oh, my next question was going to be, did you have a favorite team in the Belarus Premier League?
Because... Oh, no, The stories in that league are just too much for me to follow. I can't keep up with it, so I didn't end up picking a team after
all. That's awesome. Well, I am so excited that football is coming back, and not only is it coming back, but it's coming back almost like in a tournament style. You know how when there's a World Cup around, there's like a game or two every single day for a stretch of a month? I feel like that's what we're going to get, but with club soccer, and it's going to be with the Premier League of all leagues. What that means for us is this podcast moving forward is actually going to talk about very current and recent things. So, yay, we are finally there. For anybody who missed our first episode, we basically started this podcast. We had an idea for a podcast, and we decided to actually accelerate the beginning and the launch of that podcast because of COVID-19. And now that COVID-19 is coming to an end, we are excited to talk about what we've actually always wanted to talk about. And that being Chelsea and how Chelsea is doing today and in the coming days. Well, hey, if you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. We are excited that we are going to be talking about a lot of current and recent and things that are going to be happening in the near future for our beloved Chelsea. And we don't want you to miss a single episode that we have. So go ahead and subscribe. And if you feel led to, also leave us a review. Because we are just starting out, every review and every good word of mouth is going to be super helpful for us. And so we thank you for that in advance if you're going to leave a review. The other thing that I want to mention is that we have an email account set up, and we would love to hear from anybody who's listening to this show. So go ahead and email us your questions, comments, concerns, show topics, ideas, whatever it might be. You can go ahead and email us using academyofblues@gmail.com. And then finally, also want to let you know that we are on Instagram and on Twitter as Academy of Blues. So you can go ahead and follow @academyofblues on those two social media platforms. So Daniel, last week when you and I were getting ready to record our episode 11, I believe it was, as we were getting ready to record it, there was huge news that dropped. And the news was that Chelsea agreed to meet the release clause of one Timo Werner. And it sounds like Timo Werner has also agreed to join the club. And it seems like at this point, it's just a formality. He definitely still has to undergo a medical and sign a contract, etc. But at this point, we've come to the place where we're like, we would be shocked if Timo Werner wasn't a Chelsea player in the coming months. So what that means for Chelsea is that we have already signed, or we've already secured the signing of Hakim Ziyech from Ajax, and now we've added Timo Werner. And all of this is before the transfer summer, before the transfer market has actually opened. So that's really, really exciting. It's so weird that we decided not to buy anybody, or we couldn't buy anybody in the January transfer window when we fought so hard leading up to it to get that ban removed. But right now, what it feels like to me anyways, what it feels like is Chelsea just has all this like pent-up energy for the transfer window that we are just releasing and unleashing. And we're not really going to get into it too much today, but it sounds like there might be another German on his way to Chelsea too. Maybe. Just speculation at this one. So I guess before we go any further, just want to get your thoughts and how you're feeling, whether you're excited or you're hesitant. And how are you feeling about the potential signing of Timo Werner?
I am having a great time. I'm loving it. I mean, with Timo Werner, by the time this podcast releases, we have to buy him by June 15th. That's kind of the date that we have to get Werner by. And this isn't going to release till after that. So by then we'll know for sure whether he's here. I guess there's been like medical issues that have been going on. Just the fact that like traveling to Germany or him traveling here, there's been lots of issues with that, with the whole virus and restrictions. But I am excited for Chelsea to have an elite proven striker again. It's been, I don't know what the deal is with the curse. Ever since Torres, or even before Torres, there's been just a ridiculous number of players who have come and gone as Chelsea strikers that have never even made a big impact. The only one in recent times has been Diego Costa, who was here for a few seasons and then just like burnt out like Diego Costa does. So to have a striker that's young, but still proven, still has lots of goals, lots of assists, lots of contributions to goal, and who seems like he has the confidence to make it in the league, it's very, very exciting to have it. And unlike Alvaro Morata, he's already a starter in the league that he's in. He's already doing this week in, week out. So, I don't know, it's just a nice, comforting feeling to have somebody like that coming in. Although, ever since the news was announced, I have been watching, not full Leipzig games, but I have been watching like highlights and little bits and pieces, and I have seen Timo Werner miss two clear-cut chances since the news was announced. But I'm still optimistic. I think he's going to come and just blow everybody away as soon as he walks into this league.
Now, the thing, too, about Werner is he plays for a team that generally play in the same mold as Chelsea do. They're young. They're high energy. They like to keep the ball. At times, they play a 3-4-3, and other times a 4-2-3-1. So he's going to be coming into a system that he's used to in many ways. Hopefully, what he will be getting is just an upgrade in quality with the players that he's going to be playing alongside with. So with all that said, what I kind of want to do over this next few minutes is ask a few questions or talk about a few things about Timo Werner. One, how did this transfer happen? Two, what kind of player is Timo Werner? And then also three and four, or just three, who is he and what are his stats, and why should any Chelsea fan be excited at this point? So one of the things for me that has been really exciting in this time is to know that he's going to be rejecting Liverpool to come to Chelsea. Now, there are reports out there that are saying that Liverpool wasn't willing to meet the release clause, etc. Doesn't matter. For me, this is a player that could have so easily gone to strengthen Liverpool, an already incredibly strong team, but that's not what he's going to be doing. He's going to be coming to Chelsea. And the more I hear about this story of how all that unfolded and the fact that Frank Lampard had a lot to do with it. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Frank Lampard and Petr Cech apparently flew to Germany. And have you heard this?
I did hear a little rumor about that.
Yeah. Right. So apparently Frank Lampard and Petr Cech flew an undercover mission to Germany pre-COVID-19 to have a meeting with him and to discuss potentially how he would fit in at Chelsea and to convince him. And that was one of the things that made his heart soft towards Chelsea or just ready to join Chelsea. But he was holding out because he wanted to see what Liverpool would do, because Liverpool was his number one choice. But obviously, Liverpool isn't even in the market for him anymore. Since the news came out, Jurgen Klopp has come out and said that Chelsea is getting a great signing or a great buy, etc. And so it looks like Liverpool's out of it and Chelsea isn't all the way. So even if the story of Lampard and Cech going to Germany to convince him, even if that's not true, what seems to be consistent in everything I'm reading and seeing is the fact that Frank Lampard did have at least two conversations with him where he sold him the vision of how he's going to play, where he would fit, and all that good stuff. So when you have a player who comes in with that in mind, typically it works. Some of our biggest failed transfers for us have been players that have just been brought in without an actual vision of how they're going to fit into the system that we have. So think Fernando Torres, think Andriy Shevchenko, think Danny Drinkwater, and
a big one.
Yeah, so typically, from at least what I've seen, when you have a manager who pursues a player because they want that player specifically, because they can see how he's going to fit into the system that they're building, long-term vision too, it usually works really, really well. A couple of good examples of that would be when Jose Mourinho first came, Didier Drogba was that player for him. And so it was Claude Makélélé. When Jose Mourinho came a second time, Cesc Fabregas and Diego Costa, those were the two players that he desperately wanted because he saw the vision of how he wanted to go. It's always good to see a manager pursuing a player because they believe and they can see how he fits into their system. And then it actually, the signing or the transfer comes to pass. So that's one of the things that's got me super excited.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The thing about this area, I believe I've mentioned this either in the podcast or I've mentioned it to you specifically, but it bears repeating that Chelsea are a club that is constantly in crisis. And when they're not in crisis, they do bad. But when they are in crisis, they do amazing. And this whole virus epidemic that is going on, this pandemic, is just the ultimate crisis that any club could be facing. So while a lot of clubs are like struggling with finances, trying to figure out wages, trying to like not sign any players, but looking more at loans or swap deals, Chelsea's the only club that's going out there and just slapping down a big wad of cash on the table and saying, I'll take that player. And that's just, there's just so many advantages to, it feels like everything that has been leading up to this moment has just been weird coincidences and things that didn't feel, things that felt like punishments at the time, just turning out to be blessings and surprise.
Yeah,
for Chelsea. Totally. And it's surprising to me, for myself personally, since I started watching, since that 2016-17 season, this whole time, seeing what the club has done, what the players have done, what the managers have done, bar a few things, for the most part, this has been like just an incredibly exciting time to be a Chelsea player, to see what Abramovich did for the NHS and like housing people and donating a lot and seeing how good a business the club has been doing and how much they're looking forward to the future. And because of this sole vision that Lampard's presenting, you can tell that Abramovich does believe in Lampard as a manager because Lampard is able to go to players with the confidence to say, hey, I'm going to be here at least for a few years. And I could sell you on this idea because I'm getting the permission from my boss that I can tell you all this stuff. I can tell you about all the plans I'm going to have. I can tell you about everything that I'm going to be doing. And just the confidence they have in Lampard and the confidence that Lampard has in his players, it just makes the whole club feel like one whole unit that is just working towards this goal of being the best club in Europe. As opposed to maybe times in the past where the managers and the board didn't get along and the players and the managers didn't get along. It feels like because they're so cohesive, they're able to go out to players and present this unified vision that is really attractive to those players. And that's part of why I think, and why it's been kind of reported, that Werner was so interested in Liverpool, because Klopp is such this likable presence at Anfield that everybody kind of wants to go to him and know that they're going to be getting plenty of time and know that they're getting respect. And it feels like Chelsea is slowly becoming that kind of club for lots of players to look at.
And here's the other thing, too. It's if you're Timo Werner and you're 24 years old. Now, I'm 26 years old, and I grew up watching Frank Lampard pretty much for like all the days when I was in school. Frank Lampard was one of the best players in the world. And it's the same thing with... anyways, I'm not going to get too much into that. But anybody who is in that, you know, 20... to, I would say, even 30, 20 to 30 range as far as age goes, it's very, very possible that they looked up to Frank Lampard as one of their heroes when playing. And so the idea of coming to play with him is going to be awesome. I think of Cesc Fabregas. Cesc Fabregas was the youngest ever Arsenal captain. And when Pep Guardiola took over at Barcelona, he was so quick to be like, I'm done with Arsenal. I'm going to go. Because when he was a kid, like Cesc Fabregas wears the number 4 on his back because of Pep Guardiola, and that was his number. And so the idea of working with a coach that he idolized for a while, that made him act so quickly. And so with Lampard having the credential that he does when it comes to playing, I'm hoping that over the next few years, that's just going to be this like huge advantage for us that, you know, money can't buy, or that most things can't offer most players.
Hey, Matty.
Yeah.
Quick question. Does it depress you that there might be like kids out there watching the Premier League who have no idea that Lampard is ever a player? Because I'm sure there's people out there who have no idea that Guardiola was a great player, or that Antonio Conte or all these managers that are around now were these great players of the past.
Yeah,
there's lots of people out there who probably don't know.
It's genuinely one of the saddest things to think about, because that's just so much joy that person is robbing themselves, not knowing about the great things that these players have accomplished. It's like, I think about over the past 7 years, I think the one player, and I know 7 years is specific, but over the time that he was with Chelsea, the one player that I feel like just would have completely changed the outlook and how the last 7 years looked for Chelsea and how enjoyable they were was Eden Hazard. To think that he was on the verge of joining a bunch of other clubs when he joined us, that's so insane to me, because I can't imagine a Chelsea team over the past 10 years without Eden Hazard. He was such like a huge part of it. And with Frank Lampard, it was the same for the first, you know, for between 2000 and about 2013 or 14 or whenever it was when he left. Since that news came out, I've seen one RB Leipzig game just to kind of study him and see how he does and everything. I wasn't able to get too much out of it because he didn't have a great game. But what's easy to tell is how much faster he is than the average player. And that's saying something, right? Because a lot of soccer players are actually fast. And he is like, he's lightning quick. And so I'm so excited to see him on one side and maybe like Christian Pulisic on the other, because Christian Pulisic can hold his own too. He's pretty fast. Just them two coming down the wings. Our counterattacks should be blistering this upcoming season.
Yeah.
They should be
great. We're going to be a team that's good at possession, good at pressing. I feel like the quintessential Chelsea goal next season may be a Mason Mount starting press that does a quick turnover to Ziyech or Pulisic that has a quick ball over the top or through the lines to a running Timo Werner that just slots it in past a keeper. I feel like that's going to happen at least a few times next season.
I can't wait. That sounds fantastic to me.
One of the things that I'm liking so much that it feels like Frank Lampard is doing, based on the players that he is targeting and a few of the players that there have been rumors about, is that it seems like he's trying to make a front line that is composed of players that can play just all across that front line. A player like Timo Werner, who can play as that central forward, who can play as someone playing off someone like Tammy Abraham, playing as the second striker to him, and he could also play on the left side, Hakim Ziyech as well, who can play like just across like two or three positions across that front line as well. And I feel like next season, what we're going to see is just a front line that can constantly be changing, that could, Frank Lampard can sub out one player, sub out another player, and completely change the formation and how we play. And that's something that has been missing for the last few seasons. I feel like with Sadi and with Conte, their subs were often like for like subs. There'd be a lot of like Moses off for Zappa Costa or Morata off for Giroud or something like that. It'd be just, what was the last season? It was like Barkley coming on for Kovacic. I feel like that sub happened a lot of times. And there are different players, but it was kind of like putting them, just slotting a different player into the same role. And this, what Lampard seems to be doing, is trying to form a team that's a lot more fluid in its formation and in its strengths and weaknesses.
It's not only just within games, but when you look at the entire scope of a whole season, and including transfers and everything, with Mauricio Sarri and Antonio Conte and their time at Chelsea, we did see a bunch of those, not just substitutions, but also transfers coming in, right? Like the Zappacostas and like the, let's be fair, Emerson. I know Emerson did a decent job playing under Lampard, but he didn't really do that with either one of the two previous managers. But now what you don't have is we haven't, our last five signings have been Jorginho, Mateo Kovacic, Christian Pulisic, Timo Werner, and Hakim Ziyech. Those incredibly solid. And so what teams would normally do is they would get one or two marquee signings that they actually genuinely wanted. And then they would get two or three or four other players to just fill the rest of the squad and maybe replace some players that are leaving, etc. Now what's happening is those positions or those transfers are actually being taken by our own academy players, where you have six or seven players coming into the season for the first time this season, into the team for the first time this season. And now there's no need to go spend 23 to 25 to 30 million euros on a player who's going to be on the bench most of the time. Instead, you have academy players who are actually good enough to be competing for the first team, and they're the ones getting those spots. So your team can actually then afford to go spend 75 million on a young German if they want to. When I saw the news that Timo Werner was coming to Chelsea, one of my immediate thoughts was, oh no, what about Tammy Abraham? Because as we have been going through this this whole season, we've known that with the exception of Tammy Abraham, we don't actually have the kind of strikers that are going to allow us to compete for the title, for the Premier League title and or the Champions League or whatever else. We have ones that are decent enough to carry us out for two or three games, but we couldn't actually depend on for long stretches in the season. Batshuayi has been extremely disappointing. Love the guy, but he's been very disappointing. And Olivier Giroud, as great as he is, and as he's had a few sporadic moments where he has actually been really good, but it's not consistent enough, right? So my hope, like the one striker that I was, or the two strikers that I was looking at, that I was like, man, it'd be great to have one of those come in. One was Mario Mandzukic. I believe he's at Juventus, unless he's moved recently.
I believe so.
Yeah. Mario Mandzukic, he's advanced in age, but he's still a danger and he's threatening. He would have been a great one to partner with Tammy Abraham because he wouldn't have taken all this playing time away from Tammy, but he would have been a great one. The other one I would have thought and said was Luka Jovic at Real Madrid. They spent a lot of money on him, but it has not worked out for them. He's still, like, he is barely an afterthought for Zinedine Zidane. So he would have been somebody great to capitalize on, because then you can have somebody who can, yes, compete against Tammy, but definitely isn't ahead of Tammy. And then Tammy would have the edge on him because of the experience that he had in the Premier League. I did not see Timo Werner coming. And so because of that, it really surprised me. And for a quick second, it made me go, oh no, what does this mean for Tammy Abraham? But thankfully, the more I looked into it, the more that I realized that Timo Werner actually plays pretty much anywhere across the front three. And he loves playing with a big center forward who can actually hold up the play, because that's not one of the stronger suits of his own game. But he loves playing off of a bigger striker. And then I started to think about how those two can partner up. And specifically, like, even if, say, Tammy doesn't start a game, but the game is 60 minutes into it and it's either tied 1-1 or we're losing the game, then you can take out one of the three midfielders or whatever and throw in both Tammy and Timo Werner in there, make Tammy the focal point and have Timo just run around him. And I could see that working fantastically. And at the same time, while we're losing Willian and Pedro, we're getting, not only are we getting a winger, but we're getting a winger who is also able to play as a center forward as well. So the more I thought about it, the more excited I got about it. But that could just be me, myself, and I talking myself into excitement. So tell me if I should tone down my excitement. Tell me if I should be worried for Tammy Abraham. And tell me how you're feeling about it.
So I have lots of feelings as well on the matter, especially with in regards to the departure of Willie and Pedro, which not confirmed, but is pretty much confirmed, seeing as I don't think the club would give him more than a 1-year extension, even if they wanted to do that. And it sounds like he wants at least 3. So that's Willie and Pedro are almost definitely leaving this summer. But the thing is, we're losing 2 great servants of the club, Willie and Pedro. Love them both. They've both had great moments for Chelsea in the past. But we're losing 2 players who are good at what they do, but very limited in what they do. Pedro kind of always plays as that sort of inside forward. He's always trying to like cut in and shoot. And it just seems like something Pedro's done a million times over and over again. And with Willian, he's kind of that traditional winger of just running down the wing and trying to have some odd crosses in or trying to dribble in closer. And it just, I don't know how many times I have seen Willian do that kind of stop in that stutter step where he kind of slows the game down every single time. And what we're losing in those two is experience for the most part. But what we're gaining is in all these other like more youthful modern players is kind of like a modern sense of the game where you can play all these different roles and play more defensively. And they both have great work rates, but we're bringing in players who have like kind of a more complex understanding of the game and their place in it. The thing with Tammy, though, that I am worried about is that he still has not signed a new contract. And I think he is the last of the youth players to have not signed a new contract. And it may just be that he's waiting to see how the situation plays out, waiting to see what his role is in the next season before he commits to signing a new contract. Because say he does sign a new contract and Timo Werner just kind of takes his place. Because Lampard has never really played 2 at the top. He's never really played 2 strikers together. At least he hasn't at Chelsea. I don't know too much about his time at Derby County, but I don't think he ever played 2 strikers there either. So it may just be that Tammy's being cautious, which is a good sign for him. He's not rushing to sign a new contract. He's not rushing to get into a 7-year contract for the club that he doesn't know whether he's going to want to play with for the next few years. All this optimism that we do have about Chelsea, about Lampard kind of bringing in the youth and fostering this new system, kind of having this progressive modern football game, it could come all crashing down if we lose the next 3 games of the first season and Abramovich goes back to his old ways and just fires him. And so it could all just come crashing down any second. We've had this hope before with, like, I know a lot of people were excited about Conte, like, staying, building this dynasty of Chelsea and being the next, you know, Alex Ferguson of Chelsea. And that didn't pan out. So I think it's reasonable for Tammy to be cautious about signing that new contract. But all the signs at the moment point towards Lampard knowing what he's doing. He has great man management. That's arguably his best attribute as a manager. And I don't think that any of the players are going to lose faith in Lampard if he does bring in new players. I think that despite the fact that I know there's been news of him not actually talking to Tammy Abraham before they made this transfer, but I don't think that that's going to sour things between them. And I think that because of this great relationship he has with all the players at the club, there's still going to be that relationship, and there's still going to be that trust in what Lampard is doing. And he's definitely shown over the course of the season that he's willing to switch players out if they're not doing well, give players a chance if they haven't been playing for a while, and not immediately yank them out if they don't have a good game immediately, which has been the case with a lot of managers of the past. They'll throw in a youth player, and if they don't do well in their first game or their second game, I'll just yank them out and say, I told you so. And then throw in their trusted veteran player. And Lampard isn't the kind of manager to do that. So,
yeah. And one of the things that I have heard or read about is the fact that Lampard is very confident in the ability, in the footballing ability of Tammy Abraham. The one thing that he's not confident in yet is to see how he could and would respond to somebody potentially coming in to take his place. Now, 2 quick things on that is, one, Frank Lampard would have gone through the exact same thing in between 2001 and 2003/4 when he was brought into the club before the Roman takeover, and then Roman takes over, and within three transfer windows, there are 18 players that come in, and 18 players for a lot of money. And so as Frank Lampard, at the time, it would have been easy for him to say, man, there's no way I'm sticking around. They're going to get me out of this club. But interestingly enough, between 2001 and 2005, as you quizzed me just a few weeks ago, that was the stretch of games that Frank Lampard went without missing a single game for 164 Premier League games. So he really did rise up to that challenge. For Tammy Abraham, if you ask him who is your hero and your idol, he's going to say Didier Drogba. And he has said Didier Drogba. Didier Drogba, he is considered one of the greatest Chelsea strikers, if not the greatest Chelsea striker of all time. And Didier Drogba had to fend off Hernan Crespo between 2004 and 2006, Andriy Shevchenko between 2007 and 2010, Nicolas Anelka, Fernando Torres, and then he left. And when he came back, he was finally kind of working as the number two to Diego Costa in that Mourinho season. So to me, it's like, look at what your hero did. He put all those guys to shame in so many ways, with the exception of maybe Nicolas Anelka. With Anelka, he had a fantastic partnership with him. And when I think of Nicolas Anelka and Timo Werner and Didier Drogba and Tammy Abraham, I see so many parallels and similarities. So I'm just hoping that somehow this works out. The one thing that means is if they're both playing, that means we're either going to have to lose one central midfielder or one of the other two wingers that we would normally have. Because we could go with a 3-5-2, we could go with a 4-2-3-1 and have them both play and just have, like, say, Pulisic move into the number 10 role to the middle of the three behind the one. It could work in that way. But that does mean that somebody is going to miss out on a spot, which is fine. You can only play 11 players, and you actually do need 11 players that will help you compete across the league when it comes to winning championships and et cetera. So what I would like to do, Daniel, is just throw out some stats about Timo Werner to you, and then we'll discuss that, and then we'll get going. So Timo Werner is 24 years old, and he's already played 218 times in the German Bundesliga. That is impressive, because that's the first division in Germany. He has already scored 88 goals and has 42 assists, and that is 130 goal involvements in 218 league appearances. So
at least half of those games, a little bit more. I'm doing quick math. A little bit more than half of those games, he has either a goal or an assist.
Exactly. Which
is incredible.
If you told me somebody with those stats is coming to Chelsea, regardless of where they're coming from, I'd be very excited. It's surprising how young he was when he started playing and when he like established his role as the striker for RB Leipzig, because he came through the Stuttgart Academy system, and in 2016 he moved to RB Leipzig, I think for 11 million or something like that, and for the past 4 years, he's been one of their main guys. He came in for 11 million in 2016, and since then, he's pretty much been a definite starter for Leipzig. And it looks like, I mean, if they had it their way, they would have either kept him for a few more seasons, or they would have sold him for somewhere between 75 to 100 million, because that is his actual market value.
I believe that he had to go due to like financial fair play reasons or something like that, that they kind of had to get somebody off their books. And if it wasn't for that, I doubt they'd be trying to get rid of Timo Werner. I think he's been kind of like shopped around. Everybody's looking at the merchandise of Timo Werner, and Chelsea just are the ones to swoop in and pick him up.
Man, that is, it's, I mean, if we can get him for 55, and I'm hearing that both Newcastle and West Ham are interested in Michy Batshuayi. And even if they pick him up for 30 million, right? Chelsea value him at 40 million. But I feel like that's just Marina Granovskaya trying to increase his price before selling him. But I just heard that we're selling Mario Pasaric, who's pretty much never played for Chelsea. We're selling him for 15 million to Atalanta. And
wow.
And so I would not be surprised to see Batshuayi go for twice that amount into another Premier League club? And so if we're selling him for anywhere between 30 to 40 and then getting Timo Werner for 55, that is...
That's optimistic. I think it's optimistic.
I actually think that it could happen, because think about it. Alvaro Morata going for 56 million.
That's true.
It's like...
That's true.
Insane. So I'm pretty excited about how the rest
of... We believe in Marina.
We do. We do. Marina all the way. And it's crazy because... Because typically, like, who you want as your director of football at a club is somebody who has a lot of experience in the game itself, and somebody who is well respected by other clubs and officials, etc. But we don't have that, but we have just like this mean businesswoman who gets things done. That's fantastic.
That's true. Oh, I did want to say one more thing. You made a really good point earlier about fighting for your place in the team. And I think what Lampard, my personal opinion, is that what Lampard has seen is that with all the youth players, with Reece James and Tomori and Mason Mount, when they came into this team, they came into positions that were filled. Reece James came into a right back that was just taken by Azpilicueta. Tomori came into a center back pairing that was not his to take. He was fourth or fifth down in when the season started. And Mount came into a midfield that was already filled and with wingers that were pretty much already chosen, with Willian and Pedro and Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi coming back. They all came into positions that were kind of, they had to fight for their place just to start. And Tammy's feels like, with Batshuayi and Giroud, they never really felt like the starters for Chelsea, and it felt like it was his spot to lose. And this is the first real challenge he's had to his place in the team. So this is basically, every other youngster has proved that they're able to stay and fight for their place and win it over the course of a season. And now we just have to see whether Tammy has that mental fortitude to back up what he's already shown on the field. And I think it's a good test for him.
I think so too. And I think that it's a great headache for Frank Lampard to have as he is navigating through which 11 to pick every single game. And for any player who actually wants to be great for Chelsea, they will have to go through other players. Every single academy player at Chelsea needs to show Chelsea Football Club and the manager and the fans, no, the club should not be out there buying players because I've got this position, it is mine, and nobody's going to take it away from me. And so is it possible that we could be there someday? Absolutely. Are we there yet? No. So... it'll be interesting to see, but it is exciting. If there is any club in the world right now, dare I say the world, if there is any club close to achieving that, it's us. We may not be close, but we're the closest. So with that, we are going to end it right here. In just 2 days, after we get to watch the Aston Villa game today, and after we do our homework on them, we are going to go ahead and do a short episode previewing our game against Aston Villa on Sunday. So we want to invite you guys to just let you know to be on the lookout for that episode. With all that said, thanks for joining us today. I've been Maddie.
I've been Daniel.
And you have been listening to Academy of Blues, a Chelsea FC podcast.